episode of Worst Collection Ever. This is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence. And it just happens to belong to us. I'm Jen.
I'm Sean.
How are you?
Hello.
Welcome to our show.
Oh, we're still here.
Yeah, well, we ain't going anywhere.
We ain't going anywhere until we get that fucking vaccine.
Yeah.
Whose dick do we have to collectively suck to get that goddamn death vaccine?
Let's all suck this one dick.
One dick.
One dick to rule them all. Brother.
Everybody's getting it but us, man.
Yeah, well.
What the hell?
Our state's taking its sweet time.
It is taking its sweet time.
Yeah, but.
I want to get it, though. So I realized today is March 3rd.
Uh-huh.
On March 13th, it will be exactly 1 year since I set foot in a restaurant.
What restaurant was that?
It was Village Inn, of all places. So it's, I don't even know if you can call it a restaurant.
What do you call it, then?
A place where you get food poisoning sometimes?
I never got food poisoning there.
I know, you love the Village Inn.
Yeah, it's a Waffle House, yes.
Waffle House isn't bad.
Waffle House, yes. Village Inn, no, not yet.
No. Because here's what happened. It was a Friday. You were coming in late.
Uh-huh.
Because you had flown out, I think, Wednesday night or Thursday morning to go do a taping.
Was this Boston?
I think it may have been Boston. Was that the last place you went?
No, last place I went was Florida. It was to Orlando.
Okay, then it was, you were coming back from Orlando.
Okay. Was that the same weekend as the, was supposed to be the Lucha Libre?
Yes.
Okay, then yeah. It was Florida.
Yeah. So I picked you up. You got in, I don't know, probably like 9, and you were hungry. So we went to one of the only places that is still open in the burbs, which is the Village Inn.
Sounds about right.
And that was the very last time we went out, and everything shut down the next week.
Yeesh.
And I had not been in the office since March 11th.
Yeah.
Because I worked from home those last 2 days, Thursday and Friday.
Yeah.
And now my office no longer exists.
And I've been working from home collectively for the past year.
Mm-hmm.
With the exception of those times I got to go out. And, you know, it's been good.
Sure.
I've been doing good.
Yeah.
I did good. But yeah, wow. It's been a year.
Yeah. And pretty soon, I'm going to have another birthday. And that thought makes me want to throw myself in front of a train.
No.
Because I literally have wasted a year of my life with COVID.
Well, again, it's not, I don't want to say it's anybody's fault. I mean, we could blame a lot of things.
Right. The pandemic is not anyone's fault.
Yeah.
The response to the pandemic is people's faults.
those are people's faults. But I mean,
the actual pandemic itself,
nature,
man, this was always going to happen.
Nature doing its thing.
Yeah.
Is nature doing its thing. And that's just how it's going to be.
Yeah. I've read a lot about pandemics, as we all know, even before this, you know, cause I like to read about that shit, like to read about it. Don't like to live through it.
Yeah.
And they always say that the next pandemic was always when, not if, when it was always, and that's it's the same thing now. It's going to be when.
Yeah.
Because there's no stopping it. There will always be a virus that jumps from wherever the fuck it lives, the reservoir, to humans. And it will always, this will always happen.
Well, let's hope that.
The key is the response.
Yeah. And let's hope that if there's one thing that we learn from this is, you know, the way to take it seriously. Because, I mean, we've had like, you know, there's been SARS and MARS and CARS and whatever the fuck they are.
Yes.
You know,
Ebola,
you know, and those things thankfully never made its way. You know, some of those never, those weren't widespread. Can you imagine if Ebola was widespread?
Yeah, we would all die.
Yeah.
It has like a 90% fatality rate. The thing about Ebola is, though, is that it's not super good at spreading because it kills people so quickly.
Yeah.
That it doesn't have a lot of time to keep going. I think that's kind of what stops it.
Right, right.
Plus, you're most infectious with Ebola after you die, which is unusual for a virus. Usually it's when you catch it.
Yeah.
Before you start showing symptoms. But it's because you're just like literally liquefying.
Yeah, right.
Which is disgusting.
Right. So that being said, hopefully we will learn from this and learn how to address these things better and not just act like they don't exist. You know, I don't think our country can learn anything.
Oh, no, we're too stupid.
I mean, at least this part of the world, at least over here.
No, other countries are smart.
Other countries figure it out, but
we are not.
No. But hopefully we'll get our stabs soon.
Hopefully.
Keep looking forward to that. Never look forward to getting stabbed with a needle more in my life than at this point.
I know. I can't wait.
Well, anyways, as we say all the time, stay safe.
Yeah. Wear a mask, even if you're in Texas.
Or Mississippi.
Or Mississippi. Especially if you're in those places, you're really going to need them.
Yeah.
Because it's just going to make shit worse. So, news.
News.
So, I don't know if you've heard this yet.
Well, you're telling me, you said you found some things and then you didn't tell me what they were.
Well, because I was going to tell you now. So this week, both DC and Marvel on the exact same day announced their summer events, right? DC's event is called Infinite Frontier.
That sounds stupid.
Marvel's event is called Infinite Destinies.
That sounds stupid too.
Infinite. So many infinites. Apparently, so
Infinite Infinity.
According to ScreenRant.com, this is going to be a rebirth level reboot for the DC universe because
For some reason, I thought these were like fan events. These are comic. Wait, so what was it? What was it called? What's DC's Infinite?
Infinite Frontier. Marvel is Infinite Destinies.
Okay. Continue.
So apparently, even though we have done many a reboot with DC, we're doing another one. After now the death metal is over, which I don't even know what the fuck was happening in death metal because I did not read it. And so I guess the idea is to try to like bring the characters back to their classic origins, which I thought we had already done that, but I guess.
Why do they keep wanting to bring it back to classic origins? Why can't you just decide one origin is the best?
I just don't know why we keep doing it and then redoing it. I'm like, could we just pick one, please? Please, just pick one. And then in a couple of years, let's stick with it. Instead of rebooting everything.
It's the whole idea that the reason why people don't read enough comics these days is because they have a hard time following everything.
Yeah, sure, so but if more you keep rebooting it, God damn it.
But that's the thing, though. Is you're that not it's helping. Just, but you, the more that you hear about these reboots, the more that the casual fan or the casual person that would actually read comics is going to go, what, they're doing that again? That sounds stupid. How am I going to even – I don't even know if I would enjoy that.
Yeah.
So it's really – it's really frustrating. I don't see what the problem is with just having a series go for like ever, you know, like something could be numbered 1000, like Detective Comics or Action Comics. Like you can have comics numbered, you know, higher than 8.
Right.
You know, or whatever it is that you have an issue, whatever it is that people have issues with. I don't know.
So what it says, at least for DC, it says, one of the big appeal of both events is DC's promise to bring optimism back to the DCU. In Rebirth, that led to the return of the heroes such as Wally West, Ted Kord, and the pre-New 52 Superman. Similarly, Infinite Frontier sees at least one major resurrection and a surprise passing of the torch, elevating a fan-favorite hero to the big leagues. These immediate changes are in display of good faith on DC's part, showing that DC is committing to brighter stories with characters that fans have missed.
Oh no, is Damian Wayne going to become Batman?
That would not be a fan favorite.
Not for you.
Fuck Damian Wayne. I hate Damian Wayne.
Because I could see that. I'm sorry.
I've never liked him. I don't like bratty kids.
No.
And your whole character is, I'm a bratty kid.
Yeah, it's not Jen's deal.
Nope, not thing. So that's for DC. So Marvel, apparently, with their Infinite Destinies event, the Infinity Stones are returning to the comic universe, which I didn't know.
I didn't know they left.
Gone. But apparently they are returning to the pages of Marvel Comics in a big way, as the comic event will explain. The comic event will explain where the powerful gems have been and how they will make
their way
back to the universe. Didn't know they were gone. I don't know. It says, this is greenrant.com as well. It says Marvel revealed that the Infinite Destinies event will take place over 8 different annuals and will wrap up with Infinity Score, a game-changing arc featuring the Black Cat.
Okay. So does she steal the stones?
Give me the steel.
Give me the steel.
It doesn't say. The upcoming saga will see the return of the Infinity Stones, which have been scattered across the galaxy and have been slowly teased over the last year or so. Marvel already revealed the Black Cat wearing Thanos' Infinity Gauntlet in a lead up to the event. And now more information has been released.
So the stones haven't been around the then that makes no sense because the whole MCU.
Well, they might have gone away because of the movies.
But isn't it something though where you want the what you read and see in the movies to be reflected in the comics? Guardians of the Galaxy.
Maybe, but it could have also been a rights thing. Because they might have been like, we're going to go do this thing on the big screen. Remember, because Fox owned the rights to the X-Men.
Fox owned the stones?
Well, no, but they owned the rights to the X-Men. If they were like, oh, well, we want this to be a universe thing. Well, we can't do anything with the X-Men, so they just got to pretend it doesn't exist. Yeah, so maybe now that the rights are all back under the same roof, now we can bring them back.
All right.
I don't know. I'm just guessing. I have no clue why they left.
And apparently Black Cat's going to be doing stuff.
The series will also introduce new villains. That's exciting.
New villains.
Villains. So, yeah.
All right. Great. Sounds terrific. Again, I keep promising it, and I need to get out to that one store over by us.
Yeah.
But I need to pick up some new comics so we can talk about some new comics and see what the hell actually is going on. Maybe we can comment on it.
Yeah.
Maybe we're going to have some sort of viewpoint.
I have no thoughts.
But
no thoughts, only stunes.
Yeah, no stunes. Give me the stunes, volume one.
Actually, if they called it Give Me the Stones, volume one, I would like that a lot. I would appreciate that.
Is there going to be something called the Rolling Stones? I don't know.
Sure, why not?
I'm just thinking of things called stones.
I'm surprised there hasn't been like a group called the Rolling Stones, like back in the 70s, that just like had Infinity Stones.
Yeah. It was like, man, we got so many Infinity Stones, we just keep throwing them.
Yeah.
Rolling them.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyways. Yeah, well, there's your Marvel updates and DC updates.
Mm-hmm.
Update. Yeah. I guess anything else? WandaVision had something fun this week.
Yeah.
That was cool.
WandaVision was fun.
Not going to spoil it, but it was pretty hip.
Yeah.
Which apparently the issue where Vision, like all these Wanda and like Vision issues of like West Coast Avengers are like shooting up in price.
Oh shit, you have them all.
I have some. I have a trade that has a lot of them in it, which is fine because that's how I want to read it.
Uh-huh.
But it's funny because it's like, you see like the, I think it was a Mike from the Bug. Comic Bug was posting, like, I was like, oh, this shot up. Actually, I could probably look it up here real quick. Yeah, so West Coast Avengers number 45 apparently is going for like $1,500.
What the fuck?
And Mike goes, is like, oh, man, I think I just sold that for a dollar.
Yeah.
Which, again, the people, those books, like it'd be like all of a sudden if like Alpha Flight became a hit, and then all of a sudden like Alpha Flight shit started getting pop, making lots of money. Like that's it would just be so weird because it's like, yeah, but you could also like just go to like a comic book store
right.
and find these random ass issues in the boxes.
Well, not anymore. They're gonna pull them all out.
I don't know. Not. I mean, I guess you would call them hidden gems.
I guess
hidden stones. Anyways. Yeah, so that was pretty hip.
Infinite stones.
Infinite stones. What else?
Infinite.
I went to not really a whole lot going on. I went to Second and Charles.
I bought some books.
I actually bought a Swamp Thing trade, which I was actually pretty excited for because I don't get to see them a lot around at Second and Charles's.
Mm-hmm.
And they had one, it was like volume 9. Infernal Triangles, the one that's like a Vertigo, but it's like just before Vertigo, but it's already like in the mature readers. So like, you know, it's very adult stuff or supposedly adult stuff. I mean, it's just weird. I think that's what they would be like. It's like it's adult readers, but it's like it's just weird. And like, you know, sometimes they reference sex and drinking. So, you know, watch out. But yeah, so I picked that up and for cheap, super cheap actually, and was happy to read it. And then I also picked up Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2 for the Wii, because now I have the Wii.
That's right.
And it's to my surprise a different game than the Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2 on the PS3, which I have.
Oh, interesting.
Because it's tailored to the Wii. Like it follows a lot of certain of the same beats as the other game, as the one on PS3. But because there's certain things that you have to do with the controls, you know, like the stupid Wii controls.
Right.
You just look like an idiot going, ah!
It was actually kind of funny when I was sitting down here the other day and you were playing it. You're just sitting over there like, ah. I'm just like, okay.
Yeah. Well, I have to shake the nunchuck and move it up and down and do this and do that. And, you know, but I love those games. And I was actually very surprised I was pleasantly surprised. So I got that. And I put up another video on YouTube. I opened up I think this was what did I post? I think it was the Bret Hart Battle Arm one that I posted. So you can find that on my YouTube, Angry Hero 79. And please give me some love there if you want to check it out and check out my other videos. That'd be really hip. But I think that's about it for right now. Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back with our book for this week.
Between the golden age of Atlantis and the rise of recorded history, there were ages undreamed of. Hither came heroes and villains possessing swords and magic, whose deeds became tales and legends. I have come to relate these sagas. Let me tell you of the days of high adventure. Days of High Adventure, a new podcast discussing a variety of comics that fall into the fantasy or sword and sorcery genre. Available on most podcast services and Anchor FM.
All right, back here at Worst Collection Ever with our book for this week. It is Secret Origins. Number 21 from December 1987. I believe I probably bought this book because I love Secret Origins, but I don't really plan to keep this one.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to go out and collect all these issues. I mean, I don't know. My random comic book collecting has ceased. It's slowed down to a crawl.
Yeah.
Because we have so many.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
And we only have so much space.
I only have so much patience to go through and sort all them out. And like there's certain ones, I have all like my Defenders and have all these random, we have these random Supermans or just have all these things that are just random that I like to have that are just, it's just for me.
Right.
You know, and it's not where it's, that's why it's the worst collection because it's bad, you know, it's just shitty stuff that nobody cares about.
Right.
And nobody should care about except for me because it's just tailored to us. But Secret Origins is, of course, I just love Secret Origins books. I just love origin stories. And actually, for speaking of podcasts, you can check out if you do a search for Secret Origins on your apps, you might come across the Secret Origins podcast. I forgot what was, if it had a special name or not, but it was on the Fire and Water Network. Yeah. So our friends at the Fire and Water Network, I believe it was Ryan Daly, was hosting that. He was just going through each issue. So he probably covered this in a much more respectful manner than we're about to.
Oh, absolutely.
So if you want another viewpoint, you can seek that out. But we are about to talk about the Secret Origins of Jonah Hex and the Black Condor. because these are two great tastes that don't go together.
Yeah.
Actually, two terrible tastes that are repulsive, even more repulsive in the same book.
We've actually almost done a Jonah Hex for this show before.
Yeah, and it was actually pretty, it was kind of racist.
It was so racist that we said, oh, we can't do this.
Yeah. I'm not really one for Westerns, just to be perfectly honest, like for comic book Westerns.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure I could have found something to talk about, but man, it was like, it not only was it racist, it was misogynist too. It was really, because it was like from 74 or something. Yeah. It was pretty rough. So we were like, oh, we're not going to do this on the show.
And the Black Condor we're about to talk about is the Golden Age Black Condor. Or
I was going
to
say, because haven't we talked about him on the show before?
Well, yeah, but it was a different Black Condor.
It was a different one. Okay, so yeah, I'm not crazy. Yeah, one. Right, okay. I thought we talked about this guy, but he had a different origin. Yeah. Different guy, okay.
So basically the cover is just you got Black Condor smiling, flying towards us.
Mm-hmm.
And in the background, in like the clouds, is Jonah Hex.
Mm-hmm.
So we start off with the origin of Jonah Hex, and we think what we've got going on here is a woman being chased.
Not just a woman, a sexy babe.
Sexy babe wearing a bathing suit and heels.
Yes, well, that's what you wear when you're being chased.
And they're running through some sort of amusement park or whatever, and we find out that it's a movie.
Yeah.
And so
her shitty heel breaks and she falls into a cowboy statue.
Yeah.
And knocks it over.
And so she falls into the statue and everybody's like, oh shit, you know, this cowboy statue, you know, must cost a bunch of money, but people get a better look at it. And it turns out that it's the, actual body, actual stuffed body of Jonah Hex.
Yeah.
Which I'm surprised that most people, these people on the set, actually recognize it, because I wouldn't know. I mean, we actually know.
I think just one guy recognized it.
Well, no, because somebody.
Someone recognized it.
Well, somebody gasps, and then another person's like, oh my God, good grief. So.
Well, because it's an actual body.
Oh, that's true. Actually, that would freak me. Yeah, I guess
it's not a statue. It's a literal body, which. Shit. And I wish to God I could remember this guy's name. There's like a story, and the dollop did it.
Sounds about right.
About, and I think My Favorite Murder covered it too. It was about a guy in the West who was like dead. And he was a murderer or something. I don't remember exactly what. His body got stuffed. And then
manicotti.
And then it kind of went on tour.
Oh, did they do that one live? Do you remember that?
Maybe.
The dollop that was at the podcast.
Maybe this is it. I cannot remember this guy's name because they
find it.
Because they found it at an amusement park eventually in like the late 60s, early 70s when somebody was like, wait a second, that's an actual body.
Yeah.
It's not a dummy. And then they like trace it back to being like this guy who died in the 1800s or something and his body got stuffed.
Yeah.
And just basically put on display all over the fucking place and just got moved around a bunch.
Right.
And I wonder if that's kind of like the inspiration behind this.
Possibly.
I wish to God I could remember the name of this guy.
No, I think I remember it because I remember seeing that. I think that's what they talked about live.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And so they find this body of Jonah Hex.
Yeah.
And
at an amusement park.
At an amusement park. And so we jump to this guy at Princeton College, at Princeton University, and they're just looking, you know, at his, he's looking at pictures of this body and the, you know, his guns and everything, and it's this, dude.
They also mention the tacky rhinestone suit he was stuffed into at one point.
Yes,
which I love because I'm like, Jonah Hex wearing a nudie suit.
Yeah, him and Mike Mills from REM, proprietors of the nudie suits.
Yeah, yeah.
So who
they
is
were it? Big in the 70s, the nudie suit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Mike Mills brought them back because he started wearing them in the What's the Frequency Kenneth video.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think Miley Cyrus wore one recently, and I think Kesha wore one at one point.
We're bringing it back.
Bringing back that nudie suit,
which
is literally what they're called. Just FYI, I'm not making that up. It's not naked. It's nudie suit, and they're those, you've seen them, head to toe, usually like some crazy color, rhinestone fucking cowboy outfit.
Yeah.
And it's called a nudie suit.
It's what Glenn Campbell sung about.
Yeah. And then literally. like the guy who invented it, his first name, well, at least the name he went by was Nudie.
It was like a French person, I think.
He was a designer of some sort. I don't know.
These are important details.
Yeah. Anyways, I don't know his name. Anyway.
So we have this, because this professor, this at Princeton, this guy, Professor Lawrence, he wrote like the book, like he's like if there was like a Beat the Geeks,
yeah,
he would be like the Jonah Hex expert.
Yeah. Because he knows
his shit. So.
Do you think there's an actual Jonah Hex expert somewhere?
Oh yeah, there's probably some.
There's somebody out who's there. Like obsessed with Jonah Hex.
Yeah, they call them
Hexians.
Hex bolts. So, he's talking to this guy out in. I don't know who he's talking. I think he's talking to somebody there, somebody out in Wyoming. And
is this the collector?
It's I don't know who this guy is. Looks like the Mega Machine guy. Is that the collector?
I think that might be like the collector's
friend
or like servant or something. Because the collector's like a way older.
Yeah,
he's got hair.
Yeah, because we could see him.
That
yeah.
just looks like an Alfred.
This dude, by the way, this professor looks like Jeff Goldblum, 92.
Yeah, no, I could see that.
So
yeah,
so Jeff Goldblum here. We'll call him Jeff Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum's giving everybody the lowdown.
So Jeff Goldblum's like, you know, so he's like, all right, you guys gonna like show it off? And he's like, no. Well, basically, what's going on is there's an old woman that claims she is
Jonah Hex's last living relation or something.
Yeah, his last is
His
wife.
That's not his wife.
She says she's common law wife.
Oh, common law. Because he married like an East Asian lady.
That's what she said. What's it says she's that. But
this woman is Native American.
It's blocking the sale. She says that. Says Jonah Hex's ex-common law wife in final years. So who's this Asian lady?
Well, they mention it later when they're talking about the dress.
Okay.
Well, the collector talks about it.
So this is where we jump to someplace in Illinois where this is where the collector,
yeah.
who looks like Ian McKellen.
So I just have a question. Uh-huh. So this collector is like, oh my God, I have this from Jonah Hex.
Oh, man.
I have this from Jonah Hex. Now I'm finally going to get his body.
Yeah.
As a collector yourself. Is this what we have to look forward to? Are you going to get to the point where, like, fuck Toy Biz figures, I need the actual body?
Well, to get to a point where I need the actual building or the actual machines that were made, that made these toys?
No. Like, literally, will you just be like...
Oh, so instead of action figures, I need the actual bodies yes. of the wrestlers?
Is this going to get dark? That's what I'm asking. How dark is this going to get?
I'm very dark.
Okay.
I can assure you, I'm a very sane collector.
Okay. I just want to make sure that I'm not going to have any stuffed dead wrestlers in my house that eventually somebody will do a dollop on.
No, I will not. I can assure you.
Just try to figure out how dark it's going to get. Because this guy could have just started with baseball cards and now he's fucking collecting bodies.
Yeah,
I don't know this guy's story.
Yeah, I don't know who this guy is. This guy's just like, hey, man, I'm into, you know what? Give me a body.
I'm collected. Bring me that body.
I collect. I got the table he was shot at.
Yeah.
I have.
That's what I mean. This is getting dark. Are you going to have to be like, this is the gym that guy got killed in Puerto Rico?
Oh, what?
Like, are you going to have like a
Bruiser Brody?
Yeah. Are you going to be like, this tile comes from the wall of the shower in the gym where Bruiser Brody was what, stabbed?
Yeah. No. Oh, man, murder tile. Check out my murder tile.
Sean's murder tile.
Come see. Hey, you want to see the murder tile? I got it hanging out. I put it in my own wall. It's almost as if I was there.
It's got like a light shining on it. Which this guy has like the shotgun he was shot with and the table he was shot at.
He has all
like,
these
in
weapons.
Glass.
He has.
I have to know how dark this shit's gonna get.
He has like the tomahawk used by Scalp Hunter, who is another DC character
that like chopped his face. Right?
No, that was a different. This is two separate things.
Oh.
Scalp tomahawks or scalp hunter or tomahawk. I was confused.
Oh,
scalp hunter. So
scalp hunter. That's a name.
So yeah, he's got like the wedding dress. Yeah, he's here. It is. He's got the wedding dress worn by the lovely Chinese bride, Mei Ling, who on the day she married him, pity she left him and their son. So, okay, so he was married at some, supposedly yeah, yeah. married at some point, and he has the dress.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's somehow he's got all these weird things.
He's got all the shit.
I do like how there's one thug here, because he's talking to these two goons, uh-huh. and this one goon's just got his hand on this, like, this shotgun, just kind of, like, just resting his hand on it on the table. Like, he's like, yeah,
I also love, this is the guy who's wearing his sunglasses indoors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big redhead guy.
That guy.
Looks like Donald Logue.
That guy takes his job of protecting collectibles? Question mark? Is that
Well, he's working for this guy, and he's just a hired goon, you know, Donald Logue.
But do you need a hired goon when all you're doing is collecting things?
Well, because he feels that he needs to ensure that it gets to him. Because I think this guy's just so, like...
Oh, so you think he's a temporary goon, or do you think he's like...
Yeah, he's a temporary goon. He just hired some...
Oh, okay, so he's only hired to bring the body, and then he's got to go goon somewhere else.
Yeah, he's going to have to, you know, get another goon
gig. What do you
think
a goon resume looks like?
It's just a bunch of, like, it's actually probably really long, because it's like, you know, worked here the description is just like, punched a guy.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Lead puncher, you know.
Oh shit! Do you think they have titles like lead puncher,
wheel man,
brass knuckles?
Yeah, brass.
Oh yeah, under skills.
Yeah, marksman.
Brass knuckles, whip.
Yeah.
All guns.
All guns. excuse me. Are you familiar with
C-class
this gun?
Drivers.
No, I'm not familiar with this gun. I'm sorry. You can't be our goon.
Yeah.
You're not familiar with this particular gun.
C-class driver's license. Forklift driver.
Forklift driver.
You never know. If you are a goon, you need
I need a forklift
skills.
Goon. And I need it now.
There is something I need to collect on a very high shelf in a warehouse. Where is my forklift goon?
And I need it moved very, very precariously. By somebody who competently knows how to use a forklift.
Somebody who has been trained.
I've driven a forklift before.
Probably not legally.
Nope. I didn't drive like a... Well, I didn't drive like a crazy... Like a
oh, I know,
forklift,
but usually, but... like, if you... You have to have, like, certification or something.
Oh, yeah,
no.
Where my
forklift.
Dad worked, you know, it was for my dad, you know, and it was like Wild West there.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe not. I don't know. I probably shouldn't say, but... It, you know, I just know that it was like, hey, you know, we need this done. Sean, learn how to maybe use how you drive the forklift. But it was like only for like a,
yeah.
I didn't do like
you went
some,
from here to there.
I didn't do like some of the heavy lifting that some of the other guys did that actually like worked there.
Yeah, they
you know,
probably
like
knew
I
what
was
they were
just,
doing.
I was just there for the summer, just doing shit. I did, you know, I mean, me and Benny did accidentally set fire, to something.
You almost burned that whole place down.
It made the news.
Good job.
But it was accidental.
Yeah, that doesn't matter. You still almost burned shit down.
Yeah.
When I worked many years ago at a certain bookstore that no longer exists, they had a trash compactor in the back.
Okay.
That for some reason could only be operated by people over the age of, I want to say 18.
Uh-huh.
But that doesn't sound right because I couldn't do it. I couldn't use it. I know I was already 18, so it must have been 21. And, like, we just had to, like, dump shit into this giant compactor, and then we had to, like, wait around for somebody to come and push the button.
Yeah, that sounds about
because
right.
Because we were not allowed to compact.
Yeah, that sounds like something where it's like, hey, I need your code.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
My manager needs to come and push the button.
Yeah.
No, I get it.
I always got around that. People, you always gave me their codes. They weren't supposed to.
Their code was their finger.
Yeah. Well, no, it was like always some like 4-digit code. And eventually they just got, they're like, Jen, we trust you. Here's a code. And I was
oh,
like,
yeah.
Thanks.
No, yeah, sometimes you just remember it from watching them.
Well, yeah, that too.
So, yeah. Anyway, so Jeff Goldblum goes out to Wyoming to meet with this woman.
And he looks totally different with this, because I honestly thought these were two different characters for a second. And
oh,
because like,
you got
oh,
the
wait.
Beanie on?
Yeah, I was like, is this like a hipster journalist in the 70s? No, it's just Jeff Goldblum with a hat.
No, he's definitely giving off Jeff Goldblum from Body Snatchers vibe.
Yeah.
So he comes in and he's talking to this, he meets this tall bird woman.
This Native American lady.
Native American lady.
Old lady.
And
100 years old.
Yeah, he answers a bunch of questions. She answers a bunch of questions for him, and basically,
yeah, because he's like, "Oh well, you've given me enough detail to let me know that, you know, you know, who you say you are.
Right. And then she also references the Hex series that was Jonah Hex in the future back in the mid-80s.
Mm.
There was a series that went on, and she's like, yeah, he talked about that, and then he didn't talk about it again.
Yeah.
Because it was science.
Yeah.
So she gives us a quick origin of him as a kid.
Mm.
And, you know, we got his father who's drinking heavily. And all of a sudden, like, the father's like, hey, what day is it? And he's like, it's Wednesday. And he's like, well, it's your birthday. And he's like, cool. I don't need anything. He's like, here's a gun. Or no, he gives him, he's like, oh, my God, wow, look at this. And he's like, don't you ever seen a rifle before?
Well, first he's like, hey, I hope you don't expect anything. I'm a horrible drunk and I hate you, child. He's like, yeah, Dad, I get it. You know, you don't like me. I'm not going to get anything. And he's like, well, actually, here's this rifle. He's like, cool. And then that's when his dad's like, oh, you stupid kid. Haven't you ever seen a rifle before? Blah, blah, whatever.
Yeah. And so then we jump to that later that evening, and his father is just, you know, drunk off his ass, and his Jonah Hex's mother comes in, and he accuses her of stepping out on him because mm-hmm. she's been out, whatever. Mm-hmm. And he does use a word here that I kind of wonder if I can use. I can find a way to use this again. He's like, "Where in thunderation?
Thunderation?
Thunderation? Have you been?"
Yeah.
So
and basically he like. She was like, she had to go get something, and then the wheel broke on the thing, and so she's late. And this guy's just like, you know, that lady told me never. Basically, you know that song? It's an old song. It's like, want to be happy for the rest of your life? Never make a pretty woman.
Oh, that woman, yeah.
That one.
Yeah, or that song, yeah.
That song is basically what he tells this woman. Like, I should have married an ugly broad because they won't cheat on you. And I'm like, have you seen Jerry Springer? Because that's not true.
Right. Everybody be cheating on everybody.
Everybody be cheating on everybody. And usually when you see Jerry Springer, those people are not cute.
Nope.
None of them. None of them.
They're all, yeah. It doesn't matter.
No, it's always a bad thing. So that ain't true.
I thought this was going to lead to him shooting his dad, but it doesn't.
That's exactly what I thought too. I was like, oh, well, cause we already saw he was like a dead eye shot. He was like shooting all the stuff.
Yeah.
Like the first time picking up this gun, just like shooting everything. I'm like, oh, so he's going to kill his father. And that's going to be like the origin. No, his dad like comes out and hits him and he goes face first into the floor. And I'm like, so is that where he gets his scar?
That's for a second. I thought that's what it was.
But then we don't see it again.
No, I knew it. I knew that's not where he got a scar. But I thought for a second I was like, wait, is this, did I misremember this? But,
right.
So we jump back to the present and Jeff Goldblum's talking to this lady and she's like, hey, take me to that place so we can advance this story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where they found him.
Take me to the amusement park.
Take me to the amusement park. So he goes in and the woman's not there, but he goes in. Jeff Goldblum goes in, and the goons are waiting for him
mm-hmm.
with Donald Logue and everything, and they got brass knucks. And there's one part where they punch him, and it looks like his eye explodes. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Like, because the way the blood is drawn, it's like, super bright red. So it's kind of like a Dario Argento movie.
Yeah, oh, it is, 100%.
So they're like, hey, you know, we need like legal recourse to get this body for our boss.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you need to make sure this woman signs this thing. And then but then they just leave.
Right.
They just leave instead of like shaking down the woman. And she's like, nah, don't call the police. You know, the spirit of Jonah Hex is going to protect us.
Right.
And then she, you know, talks about him being in the Civil War and how the reason why he got his scar is because.
Oh, he got there a tomahawk to the face?
His Apache blood brother. He killed his Apache blood brother.
Oh, yeah.
And his blood brother's I don't know. Nah, it's hard to see the letter now. It looks like now. Tanti.
Yeah, the copy of this book is kind of rough.
Yeah, the lettering. Yeah.
It's like a, well, not only that, but you can see on the cover, it's like cut wrong. It's like, if you look at Secret Origins, do you see the top? You see there's like,
oh yeah, no, it's off,
cut
yeah.
wrong. And then the actual print is like, and I don't know if it's because it's old or just the way it was printed. It's like
nothing.
Kind of blurry.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is, it's kind of a shitty copy of this.
Right.
Yeah.
So he is, yeah, so he gets the, like a, well, it looks to be like a stick to the face.
Yeah.
Like a, it's the mark of the demon.
Sure.
And so he, you know, since he was all scarred up and everything, he, you know, he decides to start drinking.
I mean, and, what else are you going to do?
Yeah, what else are you going to do?
Yeah, and he's like at an establishment. A brothel of some sort where there's like a lady trying
well,
to.
Well, the way the woman described the tall bird describes it as he found his woman in the dirt of the street.
The dirt of the street.
Yeah. And so he's, you know, he's talking to this or something like he's at a brothel and he goes out. He hears like a commotion outside and well, he goes out. What?
I was going to say it's because there's like a woman there being like, hey, soldier, I need money for somebody's surgery. Uh-huh. And then the soldier's like, no, wench. And he goes to like hit her. And then that's when he starts like seeing it as his mom and dad.
No, 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 that's not it. No, because he's talking to this lady, you know, to this lady, well, I'm assuming who's a, you know, prostitute.
Oh, I must have skipped ahead.
Or maybe not. I think just,
did I miss this page? Let me see.
Actually, no, I only think it's even a prostitute. I think he's just talking to a lady.
No, there's a point.
Yeah, because you have to. So
this is a woman of the night.
Oh, it is it? Okay.
This is a woman of the night. But see, this guy hits her.
It's not the same woman.
Oh, it's a different woman.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because he hears, he's talking to this woman inside.
Okay.
And he hears what's going on outside. Woman. So he goes out there to see what's up.
Because they're
and,
all drawn the same.
And he looks, he sees this woman, and it's a blonde woman like his mom, and this guy who looks like.
Who has a stash.
Who has a stash like his dad. And so he envisions.
Jonah Hex
does. Envisions, you know, he has mustache PSD.
Yeah.
PTSD.
Yeah, he does.
And he envisions these people as this guy as his dad. So he shoots his dad. And instead of people being like, holy shit, you just shot a dude, it's the Old West. And they're like, hey, you just shot like this criminal,
yeah.
You know, this guy that has, quote, is wanted for back shooting more men than the U.S. has got states. So, you know, I'm assuming.
What year was this?
Well, this is like the 1860s.
I was going to say, how many states do we have at that point?
Not as many we have now.
No.
So he didn't shoot 50 people.
No.
But he shot a lot of people.
Yes.
You know, it's enough. It's enough 18. People. It's enough people to get him in some trouble.
Yeah.
So he gets this reward, and he makes it rain.
Yeah.
He just takes the money and just like blah.
Yeah.
And they're like what's wrong with
horse.
You?
Horse.
Gets on his horse and leaves, and now I think we're back at this at the amusement park because then now the goons are there with the old man.
Right. The collector.
With Ian McKellen.
Yeah.
And he's like, lady, look, you know, you need to sign this sheet because.
Because you're old.
Oh, was it? No, I think, I don't know. I think they're still at the park because it's, he says yesterday. So it's like they've been hanging out at this park like for the whole day.
Sure.
And she's like, no, I'm not going to sign the paper. And then one of the goons is like, then you ain't liable to live too long. Right, boss?
I'm like, she's 100 years old, dude. Just wait for this old woman to kick a bucket.
I'm going to remove you from your life. Yeah, she's about to kick it.
Yeah, just let her go. Come back in 6 months.
So the goons and, Mia McKellen pulls out the gun and he's like, you know what? You know, you should have signed this. And all out of nowhere, because I don't know how this fucking happened, but I'm assuming it's because it's the ghost of Jonah Hex. But Jeff Goldblum all magically has a gun.
Right. So when the way they drew it, I honestly thought it was because they're standing in front of the Jonah Hex body and he's holding guns. And I was like, oh, is Jonah Hex alive now? And he's shooting these people.
That's what I thought.
That's what I was like, oh, Jonah Hex has come back to life. The spirit of Jonah Hex. And he's shooting these people with these guns. No, it's.
Oh, no, wait. You know what? I think that you're right. I think you're
am
right.
Am I right?
No, I think you're right. You know,
because
okay.
Then the next page, it's Jeff Goldblum has a gun. And
he has
like,
a gun
wait.
Because he's picking up the gun that the old guy dropped.
Oh,
because
so
you see him because you can see him here. He's like he's picking up. He's like, oh, he holds it up to the to the goons.
Okay, so that is what happened.
Yeah, so okay. Ghost, it's a
little unclear.
It's Ghost Gun.
It's a little unclear, the way it's drawn.
Yeah, it is.
I'm like, wait, whose hand is this? Because it's just a hand.
It is awkward.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and so they get the goons and they put them up in a van and then they leave the body there and they'll come get it later. And
yep.
That's it.
Yep.
That's how it ends. That's the Jonah Hex origin. That's what happened with how Jonah Hex. There was like maybe 8 panels of what actually.
Of how Jonah Hex became Jonah Hex, sort of.
Sort of.
And a lot of goons.
And a lot of goons and a lot of Jeff Goldblum and a lot of an old lady.
Yeah.
And ghost yeah, guns.
Yeah, that's what that was. It was not worth it to sit through that origin.
So we have the letters page in here in the middle. It's called Secret Admirers, which isn't bad for Secret Origins. But there's no letters. It's just a secrets behind the origin. So it's a bit more of like a published, like when you read publication history on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
It just kind of talks about that stuff. So that's neat. I did enjoy this ad for NBC Saturday morning cartoons.
I did not read it. I just glanced.
Well, the whole thing is like, so there's an elf cartoon, I guess. And so the idea is that all these characters are in the NBC commissary and they're eating lunch and Alf crashes into the ceiling and everybody starts eating the ceiling or by accident or something. Cause the gummy bears are like,
oh, you mean it falls into their food?
It falls into their food.
I thought they were just like, ceiling, hum, hum.
Well, no, it's like the gummy bears are like, because the gummy bears are like, it's like, hey, what is the gummy, just the cartoon, the gummy bears, if you remember the gummy bears, they're just like, hey, look at these motherfucking fraggles here. They're eating the ceiling. And then,
I would have really appreciate if the gummy bears actually said, look at these motherfucking fraggles.
Yeah, and then we got Foofer. Do you remember Foofer?
No.
He's a blue dog.
Nope.
Yeah, he's there and he's like talking about radishes. And then they got Simon, Alvin and the Chipmunks. And Simon, of all people, he's supposed to be a smart, responsible
correct,
one. He says,
yes.
I hear Alf likes cats. Let's introduce him to Gargamel's. You know,
that's mean.
Yeah. I mean, well, Gargamel's cat's kind of evil, but, you know, that's still mean.
It's true.
And then Don Johnson's just standing like half off camera here. And
that's true. He is half off panel. What
and half off. Yeah. Half off panel. And like Alvin's like, hey, let's do shit. So, yeah, that's your 1987 NBC lineup.
Yeah.
Oh, there are letters here, actually. I'm sorry. I'm mistaken.
Okay. I didn't read any of them.
2 pages here. All right. Anyway, so here we go.
Black Condor.
Black motherfucking Condor. Secret origin of Black Condor.
Yes.
Who appeared first, I believe, in something called Crack Comics, number 1.
Right? Give me that Crack Comics.
Crack Comics. So there's a lot of, I don't want to do each one of these things
yeah,
here.
Yeah, because there's a lot of it. Like, basically, we are in a...
We're in Mongolia.
Oh, okay.
We're in Mongolia.
That is not where I thought we were.
Where did you think we were?
I thought we were in some, like, Iraq or something. Because there's, camels might, and
we might be,
such,
but...
And people, shouting, about Allah. So I was like, oh, okay, so we must be somewhere in the Middle East.
Well, it says something led by... in the Crack Comics excerpt, it says, like, perhaps the fates conspired on that day many years ago when an expedition led by Major Richard Gray trekked across the bleak steps of Outer Mongolia.
Oh, see, I didn't read that part.
So...
I said, I'm not reading you.
Well, so he's
going to read the rest of this.
So we start off with this thing, though, where his father, Major Gray or whatever, is talking to his wife, holding the baby.
Yes.
Holding the baby condor man. Mm. And
is this where he calls him Husky?
Yeah, this is where he's like, she's like, wow, our son must love this life. He one day he's going to grow up to be an archaeologist. And then he goes, and he's a husky lad and a husky lad he is, too. So basically it's like our son's going to grow up to be an archaeologist. It's like, yeah. And he's fat.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, look at this fat fucking baby. This baby's so fat.
How fat is he?
Yeah. This guy's just walking around being like, my son is fat.
Hey, you see my fat son?
Hey, who wants to look at my fat son?
Yeah, you know what? We don't have any more food left for this expedition, and we're all going to starve because my fat son ate it all.
Do you know how hard it is to find baby clothes in Husky?
They don't make diapers that big, do they?
Excuse me, do you have the Husky boys section? But you have to go into the
I had to wear Huskies.
But as an infant, I don't think.
Oh, and not as an infant. I don't know. I mean, I that was probably the last time I was thin.
Oh yeah, no, I was never thin.
I was never thin. Then I just became gelatinous.
Excuse me, do you have gelatinous sized clothing?
Can you show me the gelatinous boys section, please? So yeah, I was hoping you catch that. Where it's like just like my son is fat.
Yeah, this dude's just like look at my fat fucking son, and then like some weird noise happens.
Yeah,
and he's like, oh no, I shouldn't have brought these.
Well, before that,
oh,
we get the meteor.
Oh, that's right. So important.
There's a meteor that flies through the sky, and it hits, you know, it goes past them, but then they hear a noise.
Lands in a mountain somewhere.
Yeah, it lands in a mountain, and then they hear a noise, and it's like, oh shit, it's a bunch of I want to say pirates, but what was it, like,
kind of
I'm trying to think. I know there's a word for like Genghis Khan, you know, like
marauders.
It's called marauders. Yeah, Genghis Khan motherfuckers. See, this is the kind of analysis you're not going to, unfortunately, you probably won't hear in the Secret Origins podcast.
That's right. They'll actually tell you like what happened. We're just going to talk about fat babies and marauders.
Yeah, they're not saying
gelatinous size gelatinous.
Yeah, I can assure you that Ryan Daly is not saying Genghis Khan motherfuckers.
Yeah.
You know, true. Because they actually have respect for comics.
And they actually know things. Just make shit up.
So, yeah, but this is where he's like, oh my God, you're trembling, my dear. I was a fool to bring my wife and my infant son on my dangerous exposition in this barren wasteland.
Yes and no. First off, like, it's probably ill-advised. But second, when people were wandering this country in covered wagons, man, some of those fucking women gave birth in the back of those covered wagons as they were moving.
That's true, but it wasn't, but this isn't those times.
But at the same time, they kind of didn't have a choice. I feel like this guy had a choice.
Yeah, he totes had choice.
Yeah, this guy had a choice. And he was like, you know, I don't have to bring my wife and newborn child, but you know what? I should. And so like,
You know why he probably bought it? He's thinking about using his son as like a tauntaun.
Yeah,
he's like,
exactly.
He's like,
if it gets too cold,
we'll just slice open my giant baby fat son and we'll live inside
him. He's thinking about eating that baby.
He's thinking about, yeah.
That's exactly why he brought it. He's like, look at this fat child. If we run out of food, we're cooking it.
He was thinking about offering it up to the marauders, be like, hey,
yeah, you want a baby?
Cook this baby.
We're gonna fucking Donner party this shit.
Yo, we Donner Potter this shit. Donner Potter. Bah, 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 bah.
Do you remember that movie Alive?
How horrible can we get with this?
Seriously, do you remember the movie Alive?
Yes, I do, and okay. I remember the Simpsons bit about it.
I don't. Do I remember?
Because it was Marge. Didn't want to fly in planes, and so
because of Alive.
No, it's because she had the. Did you remember that episode?
Oh yeah, because her dad was a flight attendant.
Dad was a flight attendant, so she was traumatized.
Yeah, which is stupid, but yes.
So, but the thing is, like, they're like, hey, we need to like figure out how to like, you know, make your mom feel better. And so they show her like a lot. She's watching Alive. And the part, it's like you could hear the TV and they're like, oh my God, we're all alive. And then they just start chomping. And
pass
me some Co-Pilot. Yeah. That's when she's also just sitting.
Yes.
But like, she's not sitting on a seat. She's just kind of like sitting in midair.
Yes, I do remember this now.
So what about Alive?
Oh, I was just thinking about Alive because that's also about a bunch of people having to eat others.
Yes.
Yeah.
No planes here, though.
Nope, no planes. So the wife like hides and the marauders come and there's a bunch of like killing. And this woman's like, oh, no, they're attacking them. I have to help. My stupid fat son be damned.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, lady, your literal only instinctual job is to protect that kid.
Yeah.
Like, I understand you want to help, but you have to save the kid. You have to save the kid. This kid is going to die. But she doesn't. She, like, throws a rock at some guy's head. Well, of course, then she gets murdered.
Yeah.
Then the husband gets, like, pulled aside and murdered.
Yeah, it's this guy, what's his name? Because he comes up later. Gallicon.
Yeah, so just, and everybody dies. Yeah.
Everybody dies. And
Except for
the fat son.
Thank God for his fat. Because then this upset me, by the way, because this is an infant.
Uh-huh.
this is an infant. And he's already crawling along being like, mama, dad. I'm like, no, no, he cannot talk. I am not okay with it. But then he like sees a bird and the bird's like, hey, look at that kid. And then he almost falls off a cliff.
Yeah. But and the bird saves him. The bird, the condor.
It's a condor. And the condor takes him back to the nest near the glowing rocky thing.
Yeah.
And is like, you know what? Instead of eating this child, which is what I had originally planned, I'm going to raise him as my own son.
Yeah. I do enjoy the commentary box here. It says, yet for reasons we shall never precisely know. It's like, she decided to raise him as her own son. It's like,
yes,
we will. It's because it's made up.
Yeah. We'll never know the motivations of this fictional bird. But there's also like the, you know, the little condors are learning to fly. And then this kid had the drawing of this devil child.
Yeah, I was wondering why you're saying that. But now devil. I see this. It's like, yeah, he becomes like Damien Hellstrom for a second.
He has his hair goes into little horns. His eyes get crazy and he just starts flapping his arms. He looks like he is possessed.
He's also ripped. He became unfat all of a sudden by not eating all the food on the expedition. And he's eating
regurgitated bird, whatever.
That's how you get ripped. That's how you get healthy.
It's all protein.
Yeah. We should start a worm diet.
Ew. God.
The boogeyman.
No.
The wrestler, the boogeyman, which I always enjoy where it was like.
That's so gross.
Where it was, CM Punk was talking about him one time and he's like, yeah, that guy will go up to the doctor and be like, doc, my stomach hurts. It's like, it's like, why? It's like, cause I eat worms.
Ugh.
It's like, yeah. Cause he would do it on his own. He would just be hanging out, just eating worms.
Well, apparently they say that, you know, you can eat worms and grasshoppers and all sorts of stuff. And that the future of protein is in insects and such.
It's like that movie, Snowpiercer.
Yeah.
Because they said they make a bunch of protein bars.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, because people eat fried grasshoppers and such.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, urban forager.
Yeah,
you gotta be an urban. It's like
I think that you're not supposed to eat them in the quantity that the boogeyman did, which is handfuls of live ones. Yeah. I'm gonna say you should probably like put them in something.
I'm kind of glad that's not a thing anymore on mainstream wrestling.
Yeah, no.
You know, he still does that. We did.
Yeah. In Boston.
Oh, that's right. We did. Yeah.
He was in a dark match or something.
No, he was on ECW. We saw the ECW taping.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think he wrestled DJ Gabriel.
I don't know, but it was gross.
It was gross.
Yep.
So Devil Child grows up to be ripped boy.
Yeah. He gets really ripped and he like wants to fly. And obviously since he is, you know, a human, he can't, but he still tries to like jump off a thing and he gets really hurt.
Yeah. He gives himself like a concussion or should have broke his neck.
Should have died. And then his mom, his bird mom is like, here, go sit back at the nest until you get better. And like the rays of the meteorite soak into it says it like stirs something in his body.
Yeah.
I was like, that's just puberty.
Induced puberty.
Yeah, that's just puberty.
And it gave him some sort of strength and some sort of
ability
to fly. And you know, you studied the condors and how they moved.
Yeah.
And then he just all of a sudden started fucking flying.
Yep. Like Wonder Woman.
And he learned.
Wonder Woman 84.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. It's exactly that. She's just like, I can fly on the winds.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what happened. This guy didn't need Steve Trevor. She did. To tell her, like, you just harness the wind. And she's like, I can fly now.
Give me the stones.
Give me the stone.
So.
Maxwell Lord just bleeds on her. So gross.
So Condor learns how to speak bird.
Yes.
Which is actually it's pretty funny because
just in this book, he's just like,
you know, he's like scraw, and like, but he's saying like these giant paragraphs.
Yeah. Well, maybe in bird language. I mean, sometimes I'm trying to put together Spanish sentences and there's many small words in English and there's only like three Spanish words, or sometimes vice versa.
El Condor Negro.
Sure.
I don't know what the Spanish word for condor is.
I don't
know
what it is either.
But I know my black is Negro.
Yeah. See?
So, but then we get some stuff here of him stabbing eagles.
That's right. Bald eagles, by the
bald
way.
Bald eagles.
I was like, this man hates America.
Well, no, he's still, apparently, I think he's still in Mongolia.
Is, he is, but, you know, they're bald.
So. Yeah, but he's just like diving on eagles and stabbing them.
Yeah, because he was like, they're like, during a drought with a knife he made out of a stone, he...
Give me the stew knife.
He flies over to like forage for food for his family and like gets in a fight with these eagles and then falls down and some like old hermit priest man is like, oh, I'll help you. And then it's like, fuck my eagle family, because then he just hangs up with this priest. I hope, or fuck my condor family.
Yeah.
I really hope they didn't need food because they're all dead now. Because he's just like,
Black condor went out for cigarettes and never came back.
It's exactly what happened. He's like, I'm going to go get some of those.
No, actually, he does hang out because like,
they show up.
There's a part here where he's just hanging out with his condor mom.
Oh.
See? Look. He's a condor mom. And then
he brought the condor mom to meet this guy.
He goes like, hey, meet my buddy.
Maybe she was hoping for a love connection. I don't know.
sexy triangle.
I don't know what's going on in Black Condor's head. And so basically this guy, Condor goes out to do something. He comes back and this guy's like murdered.
Yeah. Well, I think because the marauders decide to, they attack this guy and then they attack some city. And they're pillaging the city, and out of I do enjoy this panel here of this the lead marauder. I feel like Golly Khan or whatever.
Sure.
I enjoy this panel just going kill, ha. It's just and so I also enjoy this rotund man running.
Oh yeah, that's me.
it's a fun drawing.
Yeah.
So
also he looks sort of like a bowling ball.
He does, yeah. So he's, you know, as he's running, or so everybody's, you know, being pillaged or whatever. And then this is where Black Condor shows up and he, enjoys this where he just goes scraw. He goes scraw. And it says in parentheses, revenge, my bird brothers, revenge for the death of my father, Pierre, or Father Pierre.
Yeah.
It's like, that's a lot to say in one, scraw.
In one scraw.
Cause it all sounds the same.
It does all sound the same.
So he goes to town, beating up all these dudes. He goes, yeah, they find the lead guy, and I think he finds the lead guy and just brings him up into the air and throws him down.
Yeah, he basically murders everybody, and then they're like, yay, you killed the marauders. Good for you.
Well, no, he killed a bunch of, he killed the leader.
Yeah.
And the marauder's like, yo, you got to be our leader. And he's like, fuck that. I'm going to fly.
Yeah, he's like, I'm out.
I'm out.
But then he's like, you know what? I think I've done all I can here. It's time for me to, like, go find my human family. So he, like, gets on a boat. Even though he can fly, he gets on a boat and he goes to...
America.
America. And I believe in 1940...
I believe that's what it says.
I think it's a four.
1940, yeah.
It's hard to tell. So, and he's like, oh, here I am. And then...
America. There's today!
Then there's this little thing about how, like, he's just in the park and some guy gets thrown out of a car who happens to be a senator who happens to also look exactly like him.
Oh my God, it's my perfect double.
Exactly.
Oh my God, that dog has a fluffy tail.
And he's like, you have to become me now.
Well, okay, so the senator gets thrown out of the car.
Right.
Because he's a senator, he's a young senator, gets thrown out of the car by an unscrupulous businessman.
Named Jasper.
Jasper Crow.
Yep.
So he's all birds.
Yep.
And the doctor, this guy's like, the senator's like, get me to a doctor. And then the Black Condor's just like, no doctor could help him.
Yeah, he's like,
but he looks like me.
He's like, you know what? I should just let this man die. And he does.
And so we get this ending here. And I've known about this part.
Uh-huh.
But it says, the next day, an appropriations bill favored by the forces working for Jasper Crow needs one more vote to become the law of the land. And they're calling upon the senator, and he's dead. But then Black Condor shows up and he's like, nay. And they're like, oh my God.
And Jasper Crow's like, wait a second. I saw that guy die. And he's like, nope, I'm going to vote no. And your bill fails. Ha ha ha. And then like,
he's talking to this guy. So he did take this guy to the doctor and
I thought he took him back to his like mansion. Cause this guy's like Bruce Wayne wealthy. And he like goes back and who has like an Alfred butler.
No, I think it just says a Georgetown mansion. So it's not him. It's not his yet. He hasn't he hasn't, gained the wealth yet.
Well, he does right here.
Well, right here. But yeah, it's not. Oh, you're talking about the senator. Had the mansion.
Yeah, the senator had the mansion.
Okay.
And he's like, Black Condor goes back to this mansion and there's like a butler there who's like, well, Tom, whatever his name is now dead, the senator. But with his last words, he said, you must continue my legacy. So basically impersonate me and live my life.
Give him my social security number. Avenge me.
Maybe this is what they meant to do in Wonder Woman 84 instead of having Steve just steal a man's life.
Oh, yeah.
That man should have, like, I don't know, been murdered by Cheetah and then given Steve his body before he died.
Yeah, that would make sense.
That would have at least been less creepy.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, you're a good screenwriter. You could bring those things to.
I could have at least made it not rapey.
Yeah, morally questionable.
Morally horrifying.
Yeah, and so he's just like, I'll do it. I'm this guy now, yep. And I can fly.
Yep,
and I enjoy worms.
And I'm gonna.
And I'm fat.
Be a
but
vigilante.
I was fat. What?
Be a vigilante.
Be a vigilante. And that is the
and
secret.
And a senator.
And a senator. Yeah. Both.
Yeah.
Be both. And that is the secret origin of Black Condor. And that is it for Secret Origins number 21 from December 1987. I guess I would say, do you want to read more Secret Origins? Of course, but I would say, of course you do.
Yeah, I like more Secret Origins. I don't know if I would go forward. I might go backward.
Well, it depends on the, again,
depending on what it is.
That it's usually with Secret Origins. I'm not. Yeah, I'm definitely for this book too. But,
yeah,
you know,
that's fine.
And we've done Secret Origins before here. I think a long time ago. It's always hit. It's always not so much hit or miss, but it's just like, you know, it's to your tastes. You know, like if you want to read about Dr. Fate this week, you know, this month, or if you want to read about Black Canary or Superman or whoever it is that they're doing, you know, then you pick it up. If you don't, then you just say, fuck it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's always, you know, it's debatable, you know, depending on who it is that month. But I dig it. I love it.
Yeah.
So anyways, that's it for this week's show. Thank you for listening. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at AngryHeroSean.
And I'm at Jen Stansfield on Twitter and Instagram. Find the show on Facebook, Worst Collection Ever. And email the show, worstcollectionever@gmail.com.
And please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and anywhere you get the show. Tell your friends about it. If you find us on Stitcher, on TuneIn, wherever. Amazon. Not Amazon. Not Amazon.
What's the flying one?
Podkite?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of some other ones, though, too. Like Google. We're on Google.
Sure.
Find us on Google, Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
Find us on all those places. And please share the podcast with folks and tell them that you need to hear more about these husky children.
Yeah.
Turning into
condors. Where are those fat babies?
Let's get more fat babies becoming condors. Whatever the fuck this book wants you to believe.
Sure.
Dumb book. Anyways, that's it for this week's show. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you again next time.
Bye.